Amber Patterson has a plan. For months, she's been meticulously crafting her entry into the elite world of Bishop's Harbor, Connecticut. Her target? The wealthy and influential Jackson Parrish. Her strategy? Befriend his wife, Daphne, first. Amber has studied everything about the parishes, their habits, their history, even the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation Daphne established in memory of her sister Julie. Fabricating a similar tragedy in her own past, Amber quickly becomes Daphne's confidant and friend. Behind her warm smile and sympathetic eyes, Amber calculates her every move. She's not just after Jackson's money, she wants his life, his status, his world. Beauty alone isn't enough, she reminds herself. Knowledge is power. And Amber has done her homework. From deliberately disabling Wi-Fi at a garden club meeting so she can heroically fix it, to carefully selecting outfits that will appeal to Jackson's tastes, no detail is too small in her grand design. What makes Amber truly chilling isn't just her manipulation, but her complete self-awareness. Unlike those who deceive themselves about their motivations, Amber knows exactly who she is and feels absolutely no remorse. She approaches social climbing with the precision of a military strategist, viewing relationships as transactions and people as stepping stones. In her mind, she's simply taking what the world has unfairly denied her. Behind Daphne Parrish's seemingly perfect life, magnificent waterfront mansion and devoted husband lies a prison of abuse. Jackson controls everything from her diet, documented in a journal he inspects, to her choice of lipstick. His abuse is methodical and terrifying. He nearly suffocates her with pillows, threatens her with knives over imagined flirtations, and isolates her from all social connections. After their second daughter's birth, he forces her into a dress several sizes too small, then publicly humiliates her when it rips at a dinner party. Even Daphne's reading falls under his control. He forbids her preferred Dean Koontz novels, insisting on classics like Don Quixote, not from literary appreciation, but to dominate her completely. The conditioning runs so deep that even after escaping to California with her daughters, she instinctively reaches to document calories no one will check. What makes Daphne welcome Amber into this nightmare? The profound loneliness of abuse, a desperate hunger for connection when cut off from genuine relationships. Seducing Jackson proves effortless for Amber, his narcissism making him susceptible to flattery and drawn to seemingly pliable women. Yet she fails to see she's walking into her own trap. Upon becoming Mrs. Parrish, the gilded cage Daphne escaped becomes Amber's prison. Jackson's charm vanishes, revealing his controlling nature, monitoring her meals, choosing her clothes, and isolating her completely. Her dreamed-of luxury transforms into confinement. The irony is devastating. Amber, who prided herself on reading others, completely misread the situation. She studied Jackson's preferences but missed his pathology, observing the parish's marriage but seeing only wealth, blind to the abuse. Now pregnant and isolated, she realizes she hasn't won a prize. She's inherited Daphne's nightmare. This reversal challenges our judgment of Amber. While her actions remain inexcusable, we feel unexpected sympathy as she suffers the same abuse she helped perpetuate. Is this justice or merely the continuation of a cycle with a different victim? Just when the story seems predictable, everything shifts. Daphne was never the naive victim Amber believed her to be. She recognized Amber's manipulation from the start and played along, seeing an opportunity for her own escape. By encouraging Jackson's affair, Daphne created the perfect distraction while planning her getaway with her daughters. The seemingly fragile woman proves remarkably strategic, turning her abuser's narcissism against him. We learn Amber was previously Lana Crump, who married wealthy Jake Crawford before his suspicious hunting accident. Though never charged, Jake's daughter remains convinced Amber murdered him. Amber's pattern emerges. She thoroughly researches wealthy targets, even altering her appearance to match their preferences. She creates personas tailored to exploit vulnerabilities, particularly loneliness, before destroying her victims. When Jackson is released early from prison, he confronts Amber about diamonds she sold from his yacht, proposing a deal: help him get Daphne back before he'll let her go. Liberation demands unexpected sacrifices. For Daphne, escaping Jackson's control meant abandoning material comforts and risking relationships with her daughters, especially Tallulah, who was manipulated into believing her mother unstable. When Daphne fled with her daughters, an Amber Alert branded her mentally unstable and dangerous, transforming her from victim to alleged perpetrator. This showed how abusers weaponize protective systems against the vulnerable. The description followed her across states, making every authority interaction potentially threatening. Amber's pursuit of freedom carries different costs. Her willingness to abandon her young son reveals moral bankruptcy, severing fundamental bonds for personal desire. Her stolen identity becomes a gilded cage, requiring constant vigilance. The novel suggests true freedom requires facing truth rather than escaping it. Daisy Ann finds liberation through emotional acceptance, acknowledging her father made his own choices. Similarly, Daphne's freedom emerges not just from physically escaping Jackson, but breaking his psychological hold, declaring, "It's over and he can no longer control me." As the novel concludes, characters face fitting consequences. Amber is arrested for Jake Crawford's murder after being captured by a trail camera. Jackson, during a desperate escape attempt, is attacked by Russian diamond smugglers seeking their stolen goods. They leave him with locked-in syndrome, trapped in his own body, able to think but unable to move or communicate except by blinking. This represents perfect poetic justice for Jackson, the man who meticulously controlled others, manipulating emotions and orchestrating lives, now has no control whatsoever, not even over his own body. His internal monologue reveals his horror, trapped, consumed by despair and rage toward Amber, wishing for death instead of this unbearable state. Yet the novel avoids simplistic moral accounting. Jackson's son Jax will be raised by Amber's mother Florence alongside his half-brother Maddie, with financial support from Jackson's trust and visits with Daphne's family, prioritizing healing over punishment for innocent victims. The novel concludes with a counterintuitive message: true strength emerges from acknowledging vulnerability. Daphne's escape required accepting help from friends like Meredith and Daisy Ann, embracing assistance rather than maintaining a facade of self-sufficiency saved her family. Similarly, Daisy Ann finds strength by allowing her husband Mason to support her quest for justice, planning to fly with him to Colorado when news about her father's case emerges. This partnership contrasts with Amber's self-reliance, symbolized by her self-bought replacement for her wedding band. The characters who find peace embrace connection despite its risks. Daphne returns to California with her daughters, their bonds strengthened through adversity. Daisy Ann visits her father's grave with Mason, ready to move forward. Florence finds redemption by raising both Jax and Maddie, creating family from destruction's fragments. In this web of deception, authentic human connection offers the only path to freedom. The perfect lives we envy often hide dark secrets, while genuine happiness may exist in imperfect but honest relationships.